I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
From the Soul Deed Mad Bastard Amateur Dramatic Society for the Hard of Hearing, we present a wheezing, groaning sound, which we believe is the only Doctor Who podcast in existence. My name is John Rain, and joining me in wobbly heels are Here Today, Paul Litchfield, and Skonos Tomorrow, Tom Neal.
Hey!
I'll start again. So wipe those crinoths your face and take a moment to consider what would happen if a parasitic alien race built a brutalist housing estate. Would it really be a Nymon and Carbuncle? Yes, it's the horns of Nymon.
Hey.
But, and I had to write this down, what was on the telly, Paul?
So, horns. Oh, okay. Actually, it was slightly slim pickings.
Yeah,
It's Saturday. It's Saturday, the 22nd of December, 1979. Mm. What a lovely, beautiful time to watch a bit of Doctor Who.
Yeah,
the 22nd of December. Christmas is almost there, and you've got a lovely.
You'd have finished school.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And it was on a most perfect time, 6:10. That's a lovely Doctor Who time.
Lovely time. Very good time.
So what was going on television on that day, the Saturday, the 22nd of December, 1979? It began, of course, on BBC with Multicoloured Swap Shop.
Hey!
With special guests, Blondie and Isla St. Clair.
Blimey.
Wow, that's real. Mm. Two sides of a coin, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Then, of course, it was Grandstand from 12:30 till 3:30. Mm-hmm. And then we had Basil Brush, which is Christmas special. Christmas in the Country.
Oh, nice.
With special guest Sacha Distel.
I hope he wasn't being chased on horseback.
Loads of people in red costumes smearing blood on their cheeks.
I've shot Mr. Derek.
Oh, Mr. Derek. as he's being dragged across fields on a piece of rope. Oh, it ends with him being ripped to pieces by dogs. Jesus.
As the titles come up.
And then closely followed after Basil Brush with Doctor Who, The Horns of Nymon. There is a blurb. Mm. And it says the following. The Doctor and Romana get pulled into a whirlpool in space. I don't think they really do.
Not really.
No, it doesn't really happen. But then 25 minutes, I'll tell you what did happen. It was Christmas Showtime special. Live from Switzerland with Abba.
Yeah,
yeah. Dignitas dances. Well, they started off energetic, then they all laid down. Live from Switzerland with Abba, Boney M, Bonnie Tyler, Kate Bush, presented by Dame Edna Everidge. I want to watch the shit out of that.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yes, please.
Lot of fun.
Abba, Boney M, Bonnie Tyler, Kate Bush, and Dame Edna. I really want to see that.
Yeah. Oh.
Anyway. Hour and 20 minutes later, it's a Paul Daniels Christmas magic show.
Not a lot.
Festive magic with Paul, Jeffrey Atkins from Germany, Bablu Manik from China, and the dexterous Wong Mao Ting. I'm not even going there.
Fair enough.
Go there.
I once said My American friend, I was with my American friend when we found out Paul Daniels had sadly passed away. And she had no context for who Paul Daniels was. And I said, well, he was famous for did magic with his wife and assistant, Debbie McGee. And she said, Debbie McGee sounds like the name you give someone who you don't know the name of a woman. And so you go, oh, I don't know, just go and speak to Debbie McGee over there. And it's the most accurate assessment. So, yeah, God bless
really
her.
That really is true, yeah.
Yeah.
You must. The only thing, my only real memory of Paul Daniels is the Halloween special we did, where you think the trick hasn't worked, and then he just went straight into end credits. Do you remember?
That was the Iron Maiden,
yeah, and then it just goes bang, and then end credits, and then BBC switchboard lit up with people going, "Well done, he's dead."
Yeah,
I think I might be right in this, but a few years ago, I don't know if you follow Christina Martin on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. I do not.
She compiled some real zingers from Daniel's autobiography.
Oh, really?
Put them online, and they are amazing. It's so Partridge.
Oh, goodness.
I bet. Yeah. So
it's all needless to say, I had the last laugh.
That sort of thing.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And about his sexual exploits with Debbie, like on a canal boat where it rocked up and down. All this sort of thing. If you just look for Paul Daniels' autobiography, Christina Martin, it should come up, but it's worth looking for.
And also, if you're interested in great autobiographies, Burt Reynolds is an absolute classic autobiography. Every single woman had great potatoes.
Oh, no.
And he ends chapters with, needless to say, I had the last laugh. I punched the fucker. He ends everything with a fight.
Oh no!
So brilliant. Anyway, there you go. So there wasn't much on BBC after that. So we move on to BBC Two. Programmes, of course, started in 1979 and BBC Two at 1:30 with the classic film Cleopatra.
Oh, so
that's,
nice.
That's all right, isn't it? Because that's a good
coming
3 hours.
Yeah.
Coming at you like. And then followed by Play Away live from Leicester.
Oh,
Jesus,
Brian, you can't.
Then, after all that fun of Cleopatra and Play Away, it's time for some serious shit now, because it's Horizon.
Ooh.
Horizon takes a backwards look over the shoulder of the last decade. Oh, no, it's still fun. It's still fun.
Backwards.
When was Horizon doing a backwards look over the shoulder of the last decade?
Also, how do you take a backwards over the last decade? It's a weird old...
That's Horizon.
Yeah.
Then it was followed by something on 10 past 5 called Something Else. It's time now, BBC Two, for Something Else. Starring the Glasgow Youth Theatre, we see a revolutionary thing you can do with a Coke can and discuss. I just dread to think what it is. Well, we shove the can directly and then we open the tab. Unbelievable.
And then shake the bloke up.
Yeah, shake the man. And we also discuss the perils of the pencil skirt.
Same. I think that's part of the same discussion, isn't it?
Doris! Yeah. I'm staying up late tonight.
Oh, set the video record.
Set the VCR, will you? What they do, they're shaking cans of Coke and putting them underneath Dolly Birds and pencil skirt.
Are you sure you read that right?
Yes, I am. God, blimey. Anyway, that was Something Else. And then after that... Listen, it's still a great day because you've got the film Help, the Beatles Help.
Oh, wonderful. Fantastic.
That's a lovely way to spend your time.
Yeah.
But if you were watching that, you wouldn't be watching Doctor Who, so how dare you watch the Beatles Help. And then later on, you had a gala evening with Hinge and Brackett. It just says featuring some rather saucy renditions of No Coward and Gilbert and Sullivan classics.
Oh, really? I would have watched the shit out of that as well.
I would have watched all of that. I would have loved that. And that was, as I say, not slim pickings on BBC One and BBC Two.
Well, why would you be watching any of that apart from possibly Help? when you could have been watching Horns of Nymon.
Horns of Nymon.
And we begin, to quote Tom, in media res.
Yay!
With two fat middle-aged men on a spaceship moaning about the equipment. And nothing feels more British than that.
Yeah.
You wouldn't get Buck Rogers doing that.
Nothing in this bloody place works.
But that's only 12 hours away from Skarnos. And they've got the last shipment aboard to take to Skarnos. We don't know what it is yet.
No.
But it's full of, as one of them says, inferior craven beings. So it could be John Craven.
And well, they've got a Blue Beetle presenter, so near enough.
They've got a Blue Beetle presenter, yeah.
So,
but yeah, so the fat one's like, can't this bloody ship go any faster? Mm. Let's press this button. And the other one's like, oh, you fool, you've blown it up.
The ship's only held together with sellotape and
And it does, it does
malfunction.
It malfunctions. It kills the pilot.
It does.
Awful.
Who looks a bit like John Gielgud's stunt double.
I suppose you want me to wash your dick for you, you filthy little.
There's no need to laugh.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's dead. Mm-hmm. But meanwhile, on the TARDIS.
Oh, I don't like all of this inside the TARDIS. I hate it when the TARDIS is in disarray.
Guts are all out.
Makes me feel so uncomfortable throughout the whole process. The TARDIS is just literally, they pulled everything out. And I'm like, oh, tidy it up. I don't like it.
Someone's bought a job lot of like mini pyrotechnics because Tom is having a small explosion near his head every 2 seconds.
Every 4 seconds, it's amazing. But I don't like it when everything's out. It just looks horrible.
It's a bit boring as well, isn't it?
Yeah, this whole story feels like someone's being to a like a wholesalers and just picked up stuff they liked the look of that looked a bit sci-fi. Later on you get those kind of disco lights, the tube with flashing lights in it. And there's a lot of metal gratings in this episode.
You can hear them
when people walk on them. It sounds like there's bombs going off.
Mic up the floor, would you, Rodney? there's no need.
As Paul is alluding to, the TARDIS is, the guts are all out.
Oh, it's horrible.
The Doctor's disconnected loads of stuff, including the dematerialization circuit.
Dangerous.
And Romana's dressed like she's about to do like a horse show.
She's
in jodhpurs and
to chase Basil Brush across the home counties.
She's got red gloves on because there is literally Basil's blood on her hands.
Covered in fox blood.
Yeah.
She's just put the tail on Adric's face as a rite of passage.
What is it about poor Romana? She does get overly sexualized in her costumes a lot, doesn't she? Yeah. Sometimes she's a schoolgirl, which is risque enough. Then she's in tight jodhpurs. It's all just a bit... God, blimey.
I'm going to watch the crew tonight, Doris.
I've suddenly got a vested interest in Doctor Who, Doris.
I think it's
was that the cliffhanger? No, that was me, Doris.
Me falling over.
Is it because Mary Tam sort of was very... She came along and she was sort of elegant. And while she was obviously attractive, she did...
According to John, was his carry-on response. she had pollies and elegance, didn't she?
Sorry, I just had a cliffhanger. At least she wasn't. Maybe they'd seen Leslie Judd on Blue Peter.
Quite possibly.
Clip of her riding that horse machine. I don't know if anyone's seen that. It pops up on BBC Archive quite a lot, and it's hilarious.
She loved it.
It looked like she enjoyed herself.
Yeah, she did 18 takes.
Oh dear! I'm glad it wasn't Mark Curry.
No. So the Doctor's been fiddling, hasn't he, with his conceptual geometer?
Yeah, Romana's livid that he disconnected the dematerialization circuit.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the TARDIS has materialized in an area of space that's close to a manufactured, as it turns out, black hole. And they're in danger of being drawn in.
Yes.
Oh, there's the whirlpool, I guess, from the blur. Sort of.
I guess it's a whirlpool. Could have been a Zanussi.
Yeah. Hey, old boss.
The appliance of science.
But then we cut away from there to, I'm just going to call him Graham Crowden because that's what he is.
Graham Crowden.
And Graham Crowden.
Oh, what a voice. What a voice.
But what is he doing?
Oh, do you know what? I don't have any problems with Crowden in this. I think his character, Soldeed, is amazing. And once he meets Baker, you've got his voice and Baker's voice, and it's like watching caramels sliding down.
It's caramel on ham.
This just reminded me of the fact that...
I love his voice so much. His gravitas, the way he speaks.
Gravitas. Graham Crowden, obviously, in Waiting for God. Mm. Little fact, did you know when Stephanie Cole filmed Waiting for God, she was only 19 years old?
I'll tell you, which
means she was four when she did Tenko.
Yeah.
I'll tell you a fact. It was about 10 years after Waiting for God had been on. I was sitting there one day and thought, oh, Waiting for Godot.
Oh, I see.
Get it now.
Crichton also plays Sir Cowardy Custard in Up the Chastity Belt with Frankie Howard.
Oh, nice.
Plum.
He's also very, very good in an episode of Dr. Terrible's House of Horror.
Yes, he is.
With the guy who's trying to invent a thing that will stop your skin being burnt by very hot broth.
That's right.
They're all Scottish.
And of course, a nice Doctor Who. He's with Peter Davison in A Very Peculiar Practice, and he's fucking amazing in that as well.
Oh, he's
I
great.
Love Crowden.
I love Soldeed. I feel like there's a ceiling for Soldeed, but his head is like out of the roof.
He's bellowing a skylight at everybody now. He's a skylight.
Yeah. I enjoy him, but he's a bit distracting.
Oh, I love him. He's like a mad soothsayer or something. He's just so...
He's a bit. He reminds me a bit of Nicol Williamson's Merlin.
Yes,
Excalibur.
Merlin.
Yeah.
Wonder Nicole, two mad bastards wandering around with big sticks.
I rewatched Excalibur not so long ago, and with Nicole, it's like, Nicole, can you pick one tone of voice to stick? Because one minute he's King of the Britons.
Very similar performances.
Yeah. More please.
He's talking to his room of lads.
Yes.
And he's just come out of a CSO curtain. Yeah. Because it took me a minute to think, how have they done that? Oh, it's a curtain.
It's a curtain. Yeah. It's a Barry Letts CSO curtain.
Yeah. And he's basically saying, a second Scannon Empire will be born when the ship arrives. So then the Doctor and Romana are being dragged towards this black hole and to this.
Yeah.
So they go and look at this spaceship. And he's turned off the deflector shields.
Yeah.
Yes.
Essentially. So they're a bit like sitting ducks.
Also, Canine, who was hoping a bit, has exploded.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's a lovely bit where Tom decides to give mouth to mouth to Canine.
Oh,
it's very funny. And his head turns right
hilarious.
Round after the explosion. I really enjoyed it. It's like Daffy Duck's bill. He has to turn the head back round after
this
the explosion.
This means war.
Yeah. I love him, though, trying to give mouth to mouth to Canine.
Yeah.
Oh, it's very funny.
I tell you what, I think maybe I watched before this just by randomly. I was just watching The Creature from the Pit, where I think there's slightly too much Tom. Tom's given he's let off the leash a bit, and there's a lot of Canine. And I wondered if that's slightly informed how I was watching this, because part of me is like, oh, can we not have Canine for a bit?
Whenever it's Canine saves the day, you're like, oh.
Yeah.
Also, different Canine voice, isn't it?
It is, not John Leeson.
Is there a reason for that? Do we know?
He was on tour or something, on holiday or something like that.
All right.
There you go. Let's go with that.
Yeah. So but anyway, the Doctor, to cut a long story short, manages to sort of stick the gravity field to the ship.
He makes some
corridor.
Like sonic stairs, doesn't he?
It's a bit like the thing they put on planes when you're getting off.
Yeah.
And they're able to wander into this spaceship.
Yeah.
Once aboard, Canine, I have detected an abundance of hymettistute crystals. So that's not good. They're very highly radioactive.
Yeah.
Tom overhears that and thinks there's a high population of high prostitutes. So he's
back where? Is he still married to Romana at this point? Yeah.
Not sure. I mean, they certainly... He's slightly not making eye contact. There's a slight bit of that, like, outward-facing Tom where he's not really engaging with it. The actual other actors a bit.
Yeah. But then they find that there's a room full of young people.
Yay!
Yeah.
Which I'm sure the BBC had lots of in those days. Oh, no, we've done it again.
Oh, no!
For fuck's sake.
Jangle, jangle, lawyers.
Yeah.
I really, really like this bit because the first thing he does is offer them jelly babies and they're very suspicious.
Yeah.
So he gives one to Romana. Yeah. And then he says, pass them around, one each.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed.
Yeah.
And then he gives one of them to bite. And I think it's Seth, isn't it? He bites it. And then Tom says, I'll take that. Takes it back and eats it. Yeah. Very strange.
Very weird.
So they're from Anith.
Anith.
And Tekka, who's Janet Ellis, she thinks that Seth is like a prince.
Yes.
Who's going to free them from their incarceration.
I love this. It's a lovely little plot that is about characters, and that is quite rare, actually.
I mean, particularly after we've just watched Paradise Towers.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. There's more plot in the first 5 minutes of this than there is in the entire four episodes of Paradise Towers.
I mean, there's like a literal arc in this and a little sub-arc with Seth and Tekka. It's nice.
Yeah, it's really nice.
But meanwhile, the co-pilot turns up.
Jesus. Oh, my God.
What's going on here, you bunch of scum?
Craven fools.
But every time he does anything, he'll turn back to them and say, scum! All right.
Every 5 minutes, he pops in just to insult them, doesn't he?
He looks a bit like Charlie Drake.
I wrote that. He looks like a bigger Charlie Drake.
Yeah. He's been dragged through the interstellar bookcase.
Yeah.
It's like someone's told him, did you know if you have a heart attack while filming Doctor Who, they have to pay your pension? So he's like, oh, right, okay.
I kept thinking of that Charlie Drake story of how he got dragged through that bookcase. Have you seen this footage?
Oh, yeah. Nearly dies, doesn't he?
He fractured his skull. Yeah, the gag was he was going to get pulled through a bookcase and then chucked out of a window.
Yeah.
And the carpenter, while they were on a break...
Did a good job.
Yeah, used... proper wood.
Oh, my God.
And proper screws.
Proper screws. Rather than give, you know, breaking like cheap MDF stuff.
Yeah.
So when Charlie's pulled through, he's knocked out and his skull's fractured.
Oh, God.
He's on the floor. The other bloke doesn't know.
Yeah.
And is like, oh, he's playing. So he picks him up and then throws him out of the window.
Hang on. Right, so I know this is bad for an audio medium, but I've just got the clip up and I'm just going to watch it now.
Yeah, do.
Right, okay, so there he is. Good. Oh, God! And he's just horrible. Out cold! Yeah.
And, then, there's only one thing to do.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he is not like any actor would go, this isn't an actor helping me lift them, so I'm not going to do this.
Well,
but
he was live, so he couldn't...
Oh, my God!
Keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so then someone else comes in and he's just out the window. Yeah.
You're right, my darling.
I think Charlie Drake was like out of action for like 7 months.
Oh, my God.
He had to go to hospital and he nearly died. So no wonder this guy's
angry.
And then
the credits roll. Oh, my God. Yeah. I mean, you have, John, you have a very good sort of collection of out of window GIFs.
Yes.
Which that's a good one. The Rick Mayall one's very good as well.
No, I love that one.
Yeah.
And the Herbert Lom one I like as well.
Yes.
So he takes the Doctor and Romana because he says, can you fix this ship?
Yes.
Like, of course I can. Like, you come with me then, scum.
But Tom's got lovely lines. Like he says to the guard, you keep holding that gun and don't tax your mind.
Yeah.
This is lovely.
Yeah, so he takes them to the bridge and forces them to fix the ship. Meanwhile, we cut back to Graham Crowden, who reminds me here of Major Bloodknock from The Goons. Because he's a subordinate comes in and he's kind of tinkering with the machine and he says, I'm engaged in important work. quick nurse the screens. And then he's told the bad news that the ship bringing their...
Tributes.
Yeah.
Must be found.
Yeah.
Has disappeared, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, it must be found! And then back on the ship, Romana suggests, she says, oh, I know what we can do, because the engine's fucked, basically, and it's like old parts.
Yeah.
She says we could use the high metis suit.
Yeah.
Crystal powers as a power source.
Mm. And she's built her own little sonic screwdriver.
Yeah, that's
which
fun.
Is brilliant.
Which the Doctor tries to nick.
Yeah.
Yes, that's enjoyable.
Better than mine.
Mm. I love that they're two Time Lords. I think that's such a good idea.
That's why it always works. She's his equal. It's brilliant. Mm. And even in the TARDIS, she's just tutting because everything's exploding because she knows better. It's brilliant.
Oh, it's so good. So she does that. And then we cut back to Graham Crowden walking along the metal flooring. And the Doctor on the TARDIS learns from K-9... When he's trying to get some stuff, and then he asks K-9 about the Skonon Empire.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And he explains to them how it collapsed during a civil war.
Mm.
Complete load of arseholes.
Mm. One of them overacts terribly. So talking of
which... Andrew, he was good enough, the chastity belt.
Ooh, I must watch that, K-9. Thank you. meanwhile, Crowden goes looking for Lord Nymon, and every time he goes in, he's like...
Lord Nymon!
Lord Nymon! Lord Nymon!
Yeah. Hello.
He sort of goes into the. It's sort of a sci-fi version of the. Of what's it, the labyrinth.
The Minotaur's labyrinth. Sort of, yeah.
Yes, it's supposed to be like a control center building that's like near where the rest of the city is, isn't it? So
yes,
it uses like a little transmat thing. Okay.
So meanwhile, with the squadron crafts now fixed, the co-pilot starts to move the ship away. But the TARDIS, the Doctor's still on the TARDIS.
Yeah.
And he's facing obliteration.
I know. Oh, and Romana's been kidnapped.
Yeah, and the Doctor's surrounded by chicken nuggets.
Oh, yeah, they just saw something attracted to him because of the gravity.
And then Romana is really cross with the co-pilot and says, we must go back.
Gives him a right bollocking.
Yeah.
And he says, the Nymon waits for no man. Which is, must have been an awkward read.
Yes.
The Nymon waits for no man.
Say that 100 times after a couple of years. So then Crowden meets Nymon, and then the Nymon is odd.
I like the Nymon.
It feels like a stuntman or some poor fucker who's constantly teetering on these massive heels.
Yeah.
I like the look of them. I mean, compared to things like, you know, the Monoids, this is like, they're like a weird sort of, you know, half man, half bull minotaur thing.
Well, I can see how they'd be a bit scary because they're constantly sort of growling.
Yeah, they got great. They sound amazing. Mm.
Yeah.
They sound great. Yeah.
But some of the realization is maybe certainly the head could have been a bit better designed and stuff, possibly.
Well, this is back when Doctor Who used to have creature effects, but nothing ever moved. So eyes just stayed where they were. And
So
it's all a bit sort of. But I don't mind the look of them. And they got laser horns.
Mm.
That's fun.
Come on.
That's really fun.
Laser horns.
Hi there. I'm Yasmin Akram. Join myself and my friend Philippa Dunn each week for our podcast, We Heart Worry, a show about cars and their engines. Obviously not. It's a show where we talk about our fears, our worries and our anxieties in a bid to help you with yours. And we just have a laugh as well. So join us. There's nothing to be scared of. I promise.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So then the Doctor's like, oh God, we're going to be like a cricket ball.
Yes.
Yeah. And I love the fact that he thinks it's the end, so he just pops a rosette onto K-9.
Well, that's when K-9, he says, you're a good boy. Claps on the head. And then puts a rosette on him saying, first prize, which
first
I thought was
prize.
Hilarious.
It's so funny. I love
there's
it.
There's lots of like weird Tom improv. I hate to keep on talking about another one, but like there's that bit in The Creature from the Pit where he blows into the weird blobs, like, tube, and it's just like he does these weird improv bits that you just know Tom has like said to a runner, can you get me a rosette please?
Yes,
I've got an idea. And
I've
I'm
got an idea.
Again, it just feeds into the fact his Doctor feels more like a Marx brother than a Doctor.
Yes,
because you know how Harpo always had stuff in his pockets.
Yes,
you always felt that with Tom. Tom could pull out a banjo for no reason.
Yeah.
Just carry on delivering the lines, but be tuning a banjo, and you'd be like, yeah, that's fine, it's Tom Baker. That's
but there's a huge asteroid headed towards him, and then he says, oh, cricket ball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he bounces the TARDIS off of the asteroid.
That's amazing. It is literally doing.
Yep.
Yeah. It's almost a precursor
like a spin ball, doesn't he?
Yeah, to like Davidson, isn't it? Because Davidson had used cricket in like Fall to Doomsday and stuff. So it's quite a nice little precursor to that.
But meanwhile, the Nymon tells Graham Crowden that all tributes must be brought before him, like he's a thirsty lady on OnlyFans. and he's angry when when Graham Crown reports that the last batch of sacrifices have not arrived,
yes.
And he says, "Well, then we will withhold the arms that will help the rebuild of the Scannon Empire."
God.
So Sol Deed, Graham Crowden comes back from the power complex and is told by Sorak, who's his subordinate, that the ship has
beautiful
now
costume,
been found.
By the way.
Oh, it's
beautiful
great, isn't it?
Costume.
Looks like he's put his head in a crow.
It looks like a crow had sex with Tetris. And shat the costume on him.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I love that actor as well. He's very, like, has he been in other stuff? Because he looks so, like, he's got such a distinctive look.
I thought he was thinking
he was in Howard's Way.
I was just going to say, I thought it was Maurice Colburn at first.
Yeah, but it's not. But no. He really looks like him, yeah.
Mm. And then when he hears this noise, he says, "Prepare the ceremony at once. This goddess shall rise and conquer." Meanwhile, the sacrificed people's prince, Seth,
yes.
It was revealed his plan is to kill the Nymon.
Yeah,
exciting.
And every time Janet Ellis speaks, I always imagine she's doing some sort of Blue Peter bit. Weird.
She probably built the ships out of milk bottle tops.
a little fact, fans. Mm-hmm. Her dad designed some of the monsters in Doctor Who, including from the Mysterious Planet.
Wow.
There
Good
you go.
Lord. Mm. Well, another fact for you. One of the Zygons was actually played by Eartha Kitt.
Mm. Wow. There you go.
Another fact for you. Oh. May or may not be true, that one.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, okay. So Seth confides in Romana. Mm. He's not really a prince. He's a pauper.
I love this scene.
It's good, isn't it?
I really like this scene.
Nice little subplot.
I know this sounds sort of sacrilegious because it's a Tom.
Mm.
But I'm watching this with Romana and I'm just thinking, it wouldn't have been so bad if Romana was the doctor, you know, because she's really, really good.
Yeah.
She listens to him. She's very she's very cold, but also in this thing, she is very kind of caring and sort of, nurturing in that sense to him.
Yeah.
I think it's a kind of flavour you don't get a lot in this era of Doctor Who.
So she says, "Don't worry, your secret's safe with me." But meanwhile, on the TARDIS, the Doctor thinks he's fixed it, and as he turns it on, it destroys the goon show. It kind of goes,
Hubba
hubba.
There's someone in the water.
Why is there a sheep in here? Yeah, it's very silly, isn't it?
Oh, yes, I remember why there's a sheep on here.
Yeah, it's very silly.
And so he manages to get the TARDIS to... the ship arrives on Skonos.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And Graham Crowden comes to greet them, but then finds Romano. Who is this?
I would also say, this is, once again, not great for an audio medium, but the tributes or the ones who aren't Janet Ellis or the main guy, the prince.
Seth,
yeah. The ones around them, like, just they're worth watching. Like, ignore what's going on in the foreground and just watch the ones in the background, because they're all sort of doing different acting styles, and it is absolutely fascinating. There's one woman who has these, like, these eyes that are, like, burning into the back of Lala Ward's head, and it's quite extraordinary.
But the co-pilot lies and says, "Look, yeah, we got into this woman trying to destroy the ship. I fixed it, and I used the because Graham Crown says, why are the two capsules missing?" And he says, "I use them to, you know, power the ship and get us here."
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, "I don't believe that. You're fucking Charlie Drake.
Build a bookcase."
And he says, "There's only one place for you to go. You've got to go to the Nymon."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And pushes him through the CSO curtain.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then Graham Crown then goes back to the lads and says, "Scholars will rule again." So then Romana and the people are then put into the they're given the radioactive stuff and they're sent into the labyrinth.
Yes. Ooh,
where the co-pilot
is. Exciting. Yeah.
And inside there, it's the walls seem to shift. And here we could also do with the little worm from the labyrinth again. Yeah.
Go that way. Good. Go straight to that Nymon.
Come in and meet the missus.
And it's Tegan. Oh, I just want to go back to Heathrow. No, just stay here.
Oh, you don't want to go that way?
No.
If she went that way, she could be straight in Heathrow.
But the walls are all shifting and moving.
Yeah, I know. And, all... the, And when the doctor gets in there, he's putting little green stickers to chart his progress.
Green stars, that's, I love green stars. That.
So lovely.
That's fun.
It's really low tech.
So they're then sort of are going towards the Nyman. Romana then finds husks.
Oh, yeah.
The previous people, and they're kind of their faces deteriorate.
That's a brilliant special effect when one of them just collapses in on itself, and it's horrible because it's his face that does it.
It's genuinely brilliant.
And that's when Janet Ellis and the others realise that they're not there to be like rewarded or anything, or to just give them. They're there, you know.
All the male tributes start smiling because they realise they're all going to be sucked off.
Which is too much.
Yeah. What a way to go.
I could probably talk it down.
Yeah.
But the doctor that has now fixed the TARDIS successfully.
Yeah.
And is materialised in the central square. And this bit's brilliant.
Oh, and I love it. Yeah. His meeting with the hello. And you got him and Crowden, both voices bouncing off each other.
That's good.
Caramel and treacle.
But he manages to escape and runs into the labyrinth. And Crowden's over the moon because he's like, oh, good, another prize for the Nyman. And that's what we talked earlier. He starts putting the green stars on the walls, which I loved.
Yeah, really nice touch.
And then Romana and the lads find the Nyman storeroom, which looks a bit like Ark in Space.
Yeah, a bit of Team of the Cybermen, bit of Ark in Space going on there.
She says, you know, it feeds on flesh.
It's a nice looking lab, isn't it? Nice looking lab.
I love the design work in this. Like, once we get there, beautiful. Even though it's quite loud. There's some really nice stuff going on.
But I've written here the Nyman is a Minotaur during his late Vegas residency. He's got
platforms.
A bit of a gut.
Yeah.
Gut and a hunchback.
So the co-pilot arrives to the Nyman and is like pleading for his life.
Last ditch attempt to have that heart attack on set. So
scum! And the Nyman shoots him.
Lasers. Yeah. Horn laser. Horn lasers.
And then the Nyman stalks towards Romana and the others, and there's our second episode cliffhanger.
And then the third episode is the second episode again.
Because
that reprise, I think, is like 8 minutes long.
It is.
Yeah, it's really ridiculous. Long.
So then the doctor arrives.
Oh, but this is brilliant. Sees the Nyman, goes, you're a big bowl, and starts doing a matador act with
him. Red scarf.
So brilliant.
Really fun.
And then they run, and but the others are too scared to leave.
Yeah.
So the Nyman goes to the power source room, and they're all hiding behind. I love this. He's like, and then when Janet Ellis hides, but hides like in Life of Brian, like she literally just stands in front of the computer. He slaps her on the ass.
Really?
Or on her back or something like that. But
there's one bit where she looks like she's hiding behind a button. It's like something a bit more effective.
He points out without saying it, if you hide there, he'll see you immediately. Get behind something, not in front of something. So she then goes behind the console and he ducks behind as the Nyman comes in. And we see the Nyman doing his kind of, it looks like he's powering a small speedboat.
Yeah.
He puts this plunger forward.
Yeah.
It's like he's revving a little sort of bike in his garage.
And a tunnel appears.
That's exciting.
Yeah, and then a pod turns up.
Brilliant.
And two more Nymons get out.
That's brilliant. Because you think at this point the Nymon is called the Nymon because that's its name. But no, it's the race. There are loads of them. And you're like, oh, that's cool. I like that.
Sorry, did you hear that? My doorbell. Sorry. Did that go off? I'll be back in 1 second.
I didn't hear it at all.
I love breaking this, breaking the momentum. I'm so sorry. Won't be a second.
It's all right. You'll see this Swedish suck machine, sir.
Your bum pills are here, sir.
Shush.
Shush, the wife doesn't know. Your dick lengthening machine's here, mate. I hate you, Amazon delivery driver. Here's those special pants you needed for when you get the Tommy Squits. Shut up. Here's your wife's love eggs. There's 9 of them. Shut up.
A Japanese dozen, they're called, sir.
This is all staying in, this bit. I want Tom to listen
Tom,
to it.
Tom will be mortified.
He won't. He'll love it.
Shall we leave it in, listeners?
Here's your special razor for your hairy owl. What? Shut up.
Your sex hat, sir.
Here, sir. As delivered from Thailand, one nonce cape.
Shut up, shut up.
I'm back. Hello.
Oh, good. Sorry, we were just rudely speculating what you were having delivered.
Yeah.
And we're all also thinking about leaving it in.
Fair enough.
All things that you're really embarrassed because the guy's really loud at the door.
So 291's turn up, and we find out they're from a planet called Krynoth.
Krynoth.
Yeah. It's dying, and all the 9-1s must continue the great journey of life to Skars.
I love that. They call it the great journey of life, and all they do is it's a bit like Independence Day, isn't it? The alien race turns up, they drain all the natural resources, hoodwink everyone, and then move on to the next planet like locusts. That's brilliant.
Yes. Yeah. Really fun.
Brilliant. And they call it the journey of life.
The galactic con artists.
Yeah,
it's clever. So then once the 9-1s leave, the doctor then examines the machine and he said, oh, it looks like a transmat.
Yeah, goodie.
Meanwhile, Graham Crowden has found K-9.
Yes.
He has, and the TARDIS.
Yeah, and shouts some more to his men.
Yes.
And then obviously says, Skars will rule again. So then Sorak, he's a subordinate, says, what's in it for the 9-1 to help?
Yeah, he starts doubting. First feelings of doubt are creeping in.
And Crowden says the 9-1 give them power in exchange for tributes. The 9-1 is simple and powerful. We satisfy their ego and they give us what we ask.
He's basically telling everyone to keep the faith and don't rock the boat, everyone. Come on. Yeah. We're onto a good thing here.
He talks about having them on a long string.
String. Yeah. So, I like the fact that when they first find the TARDIS, you got a POV shot of K-9 just looking at the view screen.
Going, yeah.
Bunch of arseholes.
It's just so funny.
Also, when K-9's leaving the TARDIS, they clearly, what they can't do is have the prop go from one side of the door to the other.
No.
Because it's too wide. So they just sort of cut away and then cut back and it's outside. That's fine. Yeah. No one cares.
That's fine.
Yeah.
And there's a bit where Saldine is when he's opened up K-9 going, this is possibly the most amazing piece of tech he's ever seen. Mm. Previously, K-9, put me on the floor as I'm completely ineffectual.
That's so funny.
He has to be put on the floor.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Of course, these days he'd fly, wouldn't he?
Yes. Oh, good.
Also, doesn't he do that thing where he's like, show me how powerful you are, and then K-9 just zaps him a bit, and he's like,
A bit, yeah.
I love that. He's like, my nipples. My nipples have gone.
Yes. Ain't no one now.
Nice. I'm no longer sterile.
It's like the Green Mile. I can piss now, it doesn't matter.
K-9 on death row.
Imagining the Green Mile where they bring K-9 in to help the warden's wife.
Sam Rockwell going, what the fuck did he do? He murdered a child. You're not bringing that thing in here to my wife.
Do you turn the lights off after dark?
Every time K-9 helps somebody, he has to lift up his tail and let all that. Got the warden's wife going, you bastard, you cat. K-9 trying to help.
Language, mistress.
Why's K-9 been put on the death row?
He murdered a child.
What's he done? Destroyed Sarah Jane.
The sponge was dry.
Oh, God.
K-9's burnt head.
Well, a slightly different shift in tone this week. K-9 is sent to death row in Alabama.
I help them, boss. I help them, boss.
In the next cell's Metal Mickey.
Dusty
He's the
bin.
One who gets electrocuted. Dusty Bin's the one who doesn't put the sponge on. Oh, God.
Tell Ted Rogers the sponge was right.
You got tweaky with the mouse. Beep, 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 my mouse.
Yeah.
C-3PO's in there as well.
He gets his moon pie delivered to him. Oh, God. I want Sam Rockwell to be Salacious Crumb.
Yes, it's too concreted in my mind now. It's like it actually happened. Oh, God.
Oh, God.
We're winner for best picture.
Oh, Christ.
Winning an Oscar.
Wait half an hour for somebody to pick him up, get him up the steps.
You love me. Right. You really love me.
Starts doing a really long gush. I'd like to thank the producer. They have to bring the mic down. Da, 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 da.
He punches the producer like Russell Crowe did.
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck Ronald Reagan. Get him off. Get him off.
Does a Brando and sends up a Monoi to receive it for him.
I thought you were going to say, does a Brando and produces some butter? And I didn't know where you were going to go. Well, a brand new episode of Canine and Company. Canines found some margarine. Yeah. Sarah Jane's in for a shock of her life.
They should never have let Dennis Potter write it.
No.
Meanwhile, in Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, I forgot what we were talking about.
Where are we?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. So, yeah, Crowden marvels at Canine. He takes him apart.
Yes.
And says he's so well made. Then the power comes on, and he's like, "It's time to begin the onslaught." I will go and speak to Nymon.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then two pods appear, full of more Nymons.
Terrifying.
They want to begin the migration.
The great journey.
And then after they've gone, the doctor figures out the two pods are travelling vessels that have journeyed down a tunnel between two manufactured black holes.
Yeah, they tell you what, these Nymons, they're nasty lot. They take over a planet, they eat the people.
Yep.
Yeah.
Drain the resources and move on. They're foul.
And the doctor says it's an invasion. And then they're tricking Graham Crowden.
Yeah.
So then he says to Romana, you go and have a look in that pod. I want you to have a good look in it.
Yeah, yeah, I'll go all the way in.
And then he sends her off.
Yeah.
He sends her back to Kranoff. Or Krynoth.
Yeah.
And but before he can reverse it, Crowden arrives and blows up the control panel.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And says, you meddling fool, you shall die. And that's the cliffhanger.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. Brilliant. Mm. I like it also, just to denote the Nymon's horn lasers. Their building also has two horns on top. That also
Good.
You see what's underneath their loincloths? That is.
That's Trumpian.
Yeah.
It is, yeah.
It's got an Oedipus complex.
It really is.
So the doctor, he's about to be killed, but then Seth comes in.
Yeah, shoots old Deed.
Stuns Graham Crowden.
Yeah.
You think he's dead, but he's not. He's not.
No.
And then he apologises to Romana. Mm-hmm. Well, the doctor goes, so sorry, Romana.
Oh, dear, my bad.
But Romana arrives in Krynoth.
Yes.
And sees loads of Nymons. And the doctor says he needs Canine to fix the problem. Meanwhile, Crowden gets up and like the bloke from the Smurfs, and runs
just
off.
Just tiptoes out of shot, doesn't he? Behind him. It's really funny. Like the hooded claw.
So Romana is about to be killed when the Nymons are stunned that are attacking her. And she meets an old man called Cizom.
Cizom. Who basically goes, the exact thing that you're watching on Doctor Who happened to us. I was soldied in that situation and helped
this is
them.
The scene...
Oh, no.
This is the scene where Marge goes to Shelbyville, isn't it? She sees how the monorail.
Romana's
monorail.
I shouldn't have stopped for that haircut. he says, as you say, this is exactly what happened here. So then Janet Ellis meets Graham Crowden in the labyrinth and they find the three more Nymons.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
And the doctor manages to bring a pod back, but it's full of more Nymons. So he sends them back.
Yeah.
He opens the door and goes, yeah. Oh dear.
Whoops. Oh dear. Yeah, closes it immediately.
Yeah.
Then sends him back. There's these baffled Nymon's going, whoa, we're back when we started. Oh.
Yeah.
Bloody British Rail.
This thing's fucked. And yeah. They say, well, there's only one thing we can do. We'll have to use Krynoth's planet's energy to beam us back. And then one of them's like, well, that will destroy the planet. And he's like, yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
So Caesar, meanwhile, has discovered that when Jasonite is integrated into the staff he's got, mm-hmm. which they supplied him with.
Yes.
Yep.
He has the ability to stun them. And she's like, well, don't they mind that? He's like, well.
Yes, they fucking hate it.
Yeah, during. Yeah, yeah after. Yeah. So then he says, well, I can help you escape. So he takes her to the pod.
Yes.
And then they have to run really up this good, really wooden ramp that makes lots of noise.
Yeah, yeah, it's another very noisy bit
of
sound.
Really good if that bit of Jasonite didn't stun them, it just made them come.
My dreams have come, Quest.
Keep shooting Nymon's like...
That is a Doctor Who episode waiting to happen.
Yeah. Mm.
That'd be brilliant.
Doctor Who and the cum gun. That's fucking got McCoy written all over it. Sorry. It's the idea of these giant balls.
Sylvester McCoy, look me in the eye, pull the trigger, make me cum.
It would be shots of him gurning as usual as he comes. Put it under full efficiency. Shoot him. Close up of McCoy.
Briar standing up and going.
Either it has to be under McCoy or it's Pertwee. You know, like when Pertwee is getting like strangled by the flame.
Heck! Karate chopping them with his erection. I think we better tone this story down, lads.
Hopefully it'll be pixelated out, though, just for comedy effect.
Yeah, if you are doing your own fan edit of this, please pixelate out.
Please don't do drawings of anything we've spoken about.
No, I want to see K9 on the Green Mile. So yeah, she manages to get into the pod, but Saison's shot in the leg, and then just goes, "Well, I'm done for." You go. You want to be like, "Help, please!
Come with me!" No, I'm fine on this ramp.
And then he gets shot again.
Yeah.
And Romana gets in the pod, and she's like, "Come on, doctor!" not like that.
Yeah.
But he gives her a piece of the crystal.
That's good.
Yeah. So Seth stuns Soldeed as the doctor's attempting to repair the transportation system. But before he completes the repairs, the Nymon return. And they're like, primitive idiot, what have you done to our machine? And they reverse the tunnel, and then that brings back Romana.
I know.
That's exciting.
And what does he call her? A meddlesome hussy.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no need at all.
No. Yeah. And then Romana tosses the crystal to Seth, who's got Soldeed staff.
Yep.
And then she says, shoot them. And he shoots the Nymons with it.
Yeah. That's fun. Can't get the staff these days.
Yay! But having managed to get himself out of Soldeed's laboratory, then, as you say, K9 arrives and shoots the other Nymon.
Yes.
I don't know how.
K9's just sort of... Also, K9, I thought, could only,
K9
like,
K9 can do things occasionally.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's occasionally helpful.
He's literally like a Deus Ex Machina, isn't he, of a dog?
Yeah.
Yes, Dogus Ex Machina.
Yeah.
Why not?
It works as well, because he's a machine.
Sometimes he's a toaster, sometimes he's a wine rack, sometimes he's a... It just depends what you want to write for him that week.
Yeah, yeah.
Good if he's got, like, a shoe pawn.
He's a foot scraper outside the TARDIS.
Oh, he talks. So then the Soldeed, the Graham Crowd, having escaped from the power source room, then runs off, like, going, I'm going to make sure this... And this is his best bit, isn't it?
brilliant.
He says, "You fools, you're all doomed. You're doomed.
My dreams of conquest."
Beautiful death, doesn't he? That slump down.
He gets shot by Seth with the staff. Yeah.
Is there like a grating, which we're meant to think is like part of the wall, but then when he slumps, it just sort of falls over and it sort of slightly breaks the set, which I think is even better. Yeah. He's like, his last thing is to slightly ruin it.
Also, yeah. the blast hits him after he started dying as well.
Yes. Yeah.
Like Seth points it, but the effect takes a couple of seconds to start. But he's already started dying, which I enjoy.
Yeah. Why waste time?
So the doctor and everybody sort of, he said, we started this. He's basically switched on a self-destruct.
Yeah. Mm.
And he says, everybody, we got to go. And they've got to get through the labyrinth. But luckily, K9, because he's a dog, he can smell the way out.
Yeah, okay.
And he finds a wall and says, this isn't a wall. Mm-hmm. And it's a special effect, thankfully, and they all walk out. As they get outside, all the Scotlands are just standing around having a fag.
Yeah.
He's like, what? We've all got to go, it's going to blow up.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, go, we've got to get out of here.
Yeah,
apparently, the building's next door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Geography is confusing, but
yeah.
They get back on the TARDIS.
Yeah.
And then they see Krynoth explode.
Yes.
And they're like, oh, phew. Aren't you supposed to be mildly concerned about that with you being the doctor and all?
Yeah, it's all a bit callous, isn't it?
Mm.
I know.
More genocide for the Matrix.
Yeah.
And it goes from we got to run to immediate cut to inside the TARDIS. There's like, oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Obviously they did all that. And I'm still going, please, please, Tom, put the TARDIS back together. I don't like it. This untidy. It's making my OCD go a bit funny. Please sort it out.
But is the 9-1 another for it. Is the 9-1 another race we can add to the Doctor's genocide list? Because surely
Pretty much,
they're extinct now.
Yeah.
Well, unless there's another one on another planet doing the same, then yeah, I think we've got to assume that he's wiped them out. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
But then she says, Romana says, I hope Seth and Tekka got a ship, and they did.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, it's good. I told them to paint it white this time. And she says, what are you talking about? And he says, oh, something for another time. So is he suggesting that he's been here and done this before?
Oh, all that stuff I find very... Like when he's saying, oh, I've been here. Well, not yet. And all that stuff I always find a bit like, yeah, okay. All right.
What, so you were here after it all exploded?
Yeah.
And Seth and Tekka weren't here? Or did they come back for a holiday? Anyway.
Is that... I've just worked it out now. Mm. Because is that to do with... Because obviously what we're dealing with is mythology. And when Theseus, one of them...
Yeah.
When he has killed the... Minotaur. When he's killed the Minotaur, he has to sail back under a white sail.
Okay. That makes sense. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Slightly.
That's
apologies
well
if someone's
out.
Listening to this and being like, you've butchered it, because like that is me remembering the Greek myths and legends storyteller thing with Michael Gambon. That's what I'm getting that from.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Thanks, Gambon.
Yeah.
So then they've gone, and then they have a little joke at the end. What does he say? It's good to have you back, old girl.
Yeah.
And she says, I'm not old. And he goes, I wasn't talking to you. And then she does this lovely, playful sticking of the tongue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She blows him a raspberry.
Yeah. And then smiles, and that's the end. And I thought, that's a lovely ending, isn't it?
It's so lovely. Mm. It's so lovely.
Mm. Mm.
And that is Horns of Nymon.
Nymon.
Nymon. Mm. What an absolute treat.
Or Nymon Says.
Yeah.
It should be called.
Yes. Mm.
Right, what are we going to give it 100 out of, John?
Yeah.
I think we should give it 100.
Laser horns.
I think, just because of his performance, I'm going to give it a score out of 100 Graham Crowdens.
Fair enough.
Because he is the biggest special effect in this.
He really is.
So I'll go first. I'm going to say that this is not one of the best.
No.
Right.
It has things in it I liked.
Yeah.
It has things in it I didn't care for very much. But I still enjoyed it because it's from this era.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I really, 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 really like Romana and Tom.
Yes.
Yeah. Or Romana and the Doctor, I should say. So I'm going to give it 70.
Yeah, that's
70. Very,
very
good.
Respectable.
Paul?
I'm only going to echo what John said. It is a bit of a pedestrian-y story, but actually, as stories go, it's got more than one idea and plot to it, which is lovely for Doctor Who. Mm-hmm. I really like the Nymon race as baddies. I'd love to see them come back in some form.
Mm.
I think it's a really lovely idea. A race that hoodwinks people, basically turns up in a trench coat and a trilby going, all right, Gaffer! And then secretly invades a planet and then fucks off to the next.
Arthur Dailies.
Yeah.
It's got sacrifices going on. It's got subplots of other planets going on and corridors and black holes. Tom and Romana just sparkling off each other as usual. Tom does just weird shit all the way through, which is what Doctor Who should always be. Mm-hmm. Yep. Sometimes he just does things out of context, but just carries on delivering the lines.
He's entertaining himself, isn't he?
Just makes him seem more otherworldly and time lordy, how I want my Doctor to be. Like, oh, you're such an odd man. I love him. I really, really dislike Disarray in the TARDIS. Oh, I'm the same in Star Trek films. When the Enterprise gets destroyed, it really upsets me. I'm like, don't destroy it straight off the fucking bat. I love the ship. Don't do it. Anyway, but it's just, it rollicks along. It's really good fun. I'm going to give it 72 Crowdens. Crowden is also stunning in it. I love him.
He's great. He's so good.
So much fun.
I have to echo this. I think it looks great. It's not one, actually, that I have seen loads of, even though I think it has all the elements of, like, a properly classic story. Mm. I really like that scene. I really like the scene with Romana when she's talking to Seth, and he's sort of confiding in her, just because that almost feels like a sort of new Who-y type thing, where it's kind of, you know, you've got vulnerability and stuff there. I really like that. Crowden is great. He's big, but like weirdly, it works in this, I think. I'm going to give it 79 Crowdens. So that's 221 Graham Crowdens for The Horns of Nymon.
Deeply respectable.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, what a fun story that one is.
It is. It's really good fun. Mm. And also, it's a four-parter, but it didn't feel...
No.
Didn't sag to me. It was just kept on going on its own momentum. Yeah. Really good fun.
Yeah.
I think there is something about Tom's charisma really carrying weaker stories.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
He's eminently watchable.
And also the fact that he's with Romana as well, there's something that just lifts it all the time. The little energy they've got between them, whether they're still seeing each other in reality or not, it doesn't matter. They're just two well-written characters who just slightly rib each other, and it's really well done.
Yeah.
And also the having two Time Lords working in unison is such a good
idea. Because even when Romana gets zapped to another planet, she doesn't panic. She doesn't panic and scream and I don't understand. She gets on with the job of getting back.
Yeah.
And I like that about to have an assistant that is just, no, it's fine. I can deal with this. It's really nice to have that. Instead of Mel screaming when anything happens, you know?
And Janet Ellis is actually, for someone who never acted again, like went on to present stuff, obviously, but never acted, I was like, oh, she's actually pretty good in this as well. I'm surprised she didn't do more acting work.
It's weird you've got Janet Ellis and Sarah Green being in Doctor Who. Before or during Blue Peter, it's odd.
And then you've got, Peter Purvis as well, obviously.
Oh, of course.
Sort of doing dual roles as well. So it's a weird one that those two shows sort of, you can flip between being a presenter and an actor. Very strange.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay, correspondence.
Oh, yes.
Tamara Bumdia says, The Horns of Nymon. It wasn't all Greek to me. A proper story, fun, and the deliberately silly parts in it add to it. Romana being the Doctor's equal was really important to 11-year-old me.
Yeah.
Great.
I cheered that's again brilliant. As she presented her own Sonic.
Yeah,
that's fun.
Tom Burgess, hello, Tom.
Hello.
So for me, Graham Crowden is the greatest Doctor Who never was. Mm. Or the greatest Doctor Who that never was. And Horns of Nymon does absolutely nothing to show why.
No!
Having said that, the 5-year-long TARDIS explosion is my favourite sound effect in all of Doctor Who.
it's ludicrous, isn't it?
It really is. Ben Thomas says, Nymon be praised! Graham Crowden's mad cackling death scene should be available on the NHS. He literally cured my hangover for the first time I watched it. Crowden later claimed he thought it was a camera rehearsal rather than the actual take. Likely story. Oh, I'm sure... Oh, God, what's Ben going to say now? I'm sure someone will mention this, but Crowden was one of the actors in contention for the part of the Doctor when Pertwee left.
Right. Oh,
wow. Let's pause to imagine that after seeing his Horns of Nymon performance, shall we?
Well, you know, he's giving a one-time performance of a big baddie as opposed to holding up the show. I'd like to think he could, like, dial it down to sort of support the whole
thing. I don't mind that he's so over the top with it because his character is supposed to be that. He's a bridging ambassador between evil and his own people. And he's all very soothsayer and prophecy-based. So the bigger the better, I think. He's great.
Hmm.
I don't mind him chewing up the scenery.
Trouble is, it's so difficult to imagine anybody else other than Tom
during
this period.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're in Hiding to Nothing thinking, oh, what if it was anyone other than Tom just because he makes it his own, really?
It has to be said, what a fucking move to cast Tom Baker as Doctor Who, considering he was pretty much, you know, not a particularly well-known actor at the time, but...
Yeah, just like a builder.
Yeah.
He's
done odd bits here and there, but just wow.
Yeah.
It's really odd because, you know, it was going to be Percy Thrower. I mean, he was definitely going to get it, apparently. Mm.
And he was so annoyed that he didn't get it, he smashed up the Blue Peter Garden. Martin says, Nymon, Amdram Mick Fleetwood, come Poundland Emperor Ming, contends with a load of bull, hopefully before the sets fall to bits.
Poundland Emperor Ming is great.
Yeah, I forgive it so much. Like, probably some of the things that we've really criticised Paradise Towers for are the same things we love about Haunted Nymon.
Yes, it works for you, isn't it? And when we talk about that sort of hammy villain, I mean, if we talk about Time Lash and Paul Darrow, I mean, there's... Mm. Goodbye, Doctor!
Same league as Crowden, definitely.
Yeah, definitely. It's fine.
Yeah.
Crinoid Podcast says, Horns of Nymon, Tom's clearly pissed, so Lala Ward has to be the Doctor for four episodes. Graham Crowden chews the scenery for breakfast and craps it out before lunch. The Nymon solved the mystery of what happened to Gary Glitter's band after he went off-piste.
Off-piste is a generous description of what happened there, isn't it?
Andrew F. says, I love season 17, but the Horns of Nymon is the weak link. It's redeemed by Graham Crowden seemingly having had more fun than anyone else in the show put together, though. And our friend Skonos Shall Rule Again, who's been asking for this episode for months, says, yay for the Horns of Nymon. It's 4x25 minutes of dependable Doctor Who does James Bond, complete with megalomaniac destroying the world, and they have a layer. Sets and costumes are great, and Crowden gets to chew scenery with abandon. Lara gets to shine as Tom took a holiday.
I don't know the lore of this, whether Tom he was actually sort of away for a bit, but certainly, you know, it's really nice that she gets some proper time to do some doctoring and stuff. I really like it.
This is how you do it. You don't have the doctor going, oh, like with like in Kindy, you don't even saying, oh, I've got a headache, I'm gonna go and lie down.
You
give the other person something to do while the other one shines.
It's the way
it should be done.
You can't have 40 minutes of people waiting for the doctor to...
No, absolutely. Bobby Peru says, Horns of Nymon, the story is so powerfully camp, it even has the co-pilot's trousers rip at the end of episode 3.
It's true. Oh, yeah, we didn't mention that.
Yeah, we didn't.
No.
All that was missing was the sound of Sid James laughing. Oh, and Janet Ellis turns up.
Imagine if they did the sound of the TARDIS when it malfunctions when the trousers rip. Zoink, boink, don't bink me.
That's full Charlie Drake is when he's, he gets a full rub. And it's properly, like, he may as well have, like, heart boxer shorts on underneath.
I love Cybermen hearts.
Or, you know, a sign at the back saying reverse the... neutron flow.
Reverse the polarity of my neutron flow.
That poor actor. He is.
We don't
awful,
break for Zygons.
Becky says, Horns of Nymon is a story that could only have been made when the entire production crew is off their heads on a cocktail of cocaine and booze.
Well, that's a heady accusation there. We're not going to comment on that.
Phil Scary says, Graham Crowden's willingness to fully commit is nothing short of breathtaking.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm. And Chris Schofield, Horns of Nymon, comedy sound effects, lots of corridors. Tom enjoying himself and all I kept thinking was, it's the cast of Moonraker, Jenny Flex and Rudy Van Desario. Nick H says, Horns of Nymon of Terrible.
Oh dear.
Jonathan Mock says, Horns of Nymon, you don't need thoughts and comments, you need thoughts and prayers.
See, this is so interesting that we that people are sort of taking against this. I just think it's properly like just put a pin in it and say this is almost an archetypal just Doctor Who of that era episode. Yeah, I think I love it for that.
It's kind of like Doctor Who in that era is kind of like Marvel now, in that the good film, the good things really shine, and the bad, the ones that are considered bad in inverted commas are still pretty good. So you can't really complain with this era of Who. There's not a real absolute stink. You wouldn't get Paradise Towers.
No.
But if you did, Tom and the writers and everyone assembled there would make it passable, I think.
I think so. Even like, you know, I'm no huge fan of Megalos, but there's loads of stuff to have, you know, to enjoy about Megalos as well. And those things.
Well, we had fun with it.
We did. Yeah. We had loads of fun.
Yeah.
Come on. Giant sentient cactus.
What's not to love?
And the Bert Baxter wanting to eat people.
and the grumblies.
Yeah.
Bloody planet.
Well, there we go. There's Horns of Nymon. And I can now excitedly announce that our next three episodes will be, drumroll please, Regeneration. Regeneration episodes.
What?
Yes. Either going into or just out of.
Yes.
Yes.
Ooh.
So we're personally very excited about doing them because Paul's picked a real doozy.
Well, we've all picked doozies, actually. Picked doozies.
Yeah. But yours is, dare I say, with the theme we have for our series, is more of a left field choice.
Should we reveal, or are we going to keep it?
Let's keep it a secret.
Okay, but just
otherwise
know that
we'll end up on the Green Mile.
Beep, 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 beep. I forgot the spell.
rock and roll. let's boogie. brilliant. Well, keep following us at Missing Pod.
Great.
Please do keep sending in your correspondence. It's lovely. And keep the drawings and everything coming.
Yeah.
I especially want to see K9 on Death Row.
I don't think I'll be able to cope with that.
No. but we'll see you soon for Regenerations.
Yay! Can't wait.
Until then, it's time for me to say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye-bye.
And remember one thing, all of you, when you're sitting at home. Skarnas will rule again! Goodbye.
McDonald.
And I'm Ellie Gibson.
And this is our new show, Extra Life.
It's basically us talking to funny people about video games.
When I was a kid, it was Grand Theft Auto.
There's Sinclair ZX Spectrum.
We talk about the games people remember from when they were kids and what they're playing now.
Guitar Hero.
The Last of Us 2.
Combat on the Atari 2600.
No, I love Pokemon.
Anyway, find us anywhere you get your podcasts.
Extra Life.
GreatBigOwl.com.
One-800-Flowers.com is more than your birthday, anniversary, or just because gift-giving destination. We put our hearts into everything we do to help you celebrate all life's special occasions with friends and family. From our farmers and bakers, florists and makers, everything from 1-800-Flowers is made with love every step of the way, because we know that nothing is more important than delivering a smile. To learn more, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.